Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Goes without saying, you're listening to Goes Without Saying with Seffi and Wing. I'm Wing.
And I'm Seffi.
You look bored out of your nut already.
Do I?
Yes.
I was just thinking what a lovely little smooth voice that was.
Oh, thank you so much. This is a great episode. I'll put my hands up and say it. Sue me. I think this is a great ep. This is a good episode if you are feeling like you don't know what is coming up next for you. And there's a, maybe a little bit. There's the whispers of pressure creeping in to try and figure shit out. And your parents have got a stern look on their face. And all of your friends are running off doing God knows what. And everyone is doing amazing, apparently. And you're stressing the fuck out. I honestly think this episode, personally, it would make me feel a fraction better. And just before we get into it, I do hope you feel okay in life. I'm sure you do. Enjoy.
Welcome back, guys.
Hi. I've kind of forced Seffi onto the podcast because she said she had some news about Twilight. And I'm like, she was like, I want to save it for the podcast. So I'm like, well, we need to start recording now then because I can't wait.
Well, I asked you, what have you been watching anything? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I haven't really been watching anything. And then I was like, I fucking have. What a complete lie.
You've been in the Twilight Zone. Tell me the news. The breaking news from 2010.
So over the last 4 days, I have watched with my mum Twilight, New Moon, and Eclipse. God. I've not watched Breaking Dawn Part 1 or Breaking
or Part 2.
Breaking Dawn Part 2, yeah. I have done quite a major pivot in my stance on Twilight.
Oh my God.
And the whole way through, like, it, basically, I feel like it won't even sound that major because I've been slagging off Edward Cullen since the day we put microphones in front of us.
Oh, I'm already shaken to my core.
Honestly, I have always been... Despite the psychopathic nature of Edward Cullen, uh-huh. I have been Team Edward, a little bit Team Jasper.
Goes without saying, all the problematic stuff aside, guys.
Let's famously, I'm Team Edward in my mind. I have pivoted strongly to Team Jacob.
This is really strongly. Big for you. This is really big news. I don't know how listeners going to cope.
And I couldn't believe it. Like, the whole way through, me and my mum were watching it like, we love Jacob.
Wow.
We love Jacob. And we were literally like, I'm a bit in love with Taylor Lautner, 15 years too late. I'm loving
wow.
Taylor.
Wow.
I know. I've never liked him before. I've never liked Jacob.
To be honest, I'm speechless.
There were so many moments when, like, we've spoken, honestly, time and time again, you're bored of it.
Too many
you're
times.
You're bored of it about how Edward is a psychopath.
Uh-huh. Well, Jacob's a psychopath as well.
He definitely is. The imprinting, not great. And
no.
the non-consensual kiss, not great.
To be honest, yeah, the fact that he was written by Stephanie Meyer just ultimately means the whole thing is not great. However,
if Bella was to make the choice between two of them, and believe me, I'm not the biggest Bella fan.
And if you're Bella...
If I'm Bella, let's add in some personality to my perception, my portrayal of Bella Swan.
Uh-huh, yeah.
If I have those two options...
The most pizzazz Bella's ever had.
There are so many moments where it's like, Edward actually, it's not even funny. Oh my God, he's a psychopath, he's so jealous. It's like, no, you're actually like a murderer. Like, watching this, it's like, I wouldn't be surprised if there's like alternate ending. Haha, I've tricked you.
Yeah.
You're eternally a vampire now, mm-hmm. and I'm gonna fucking, like, you're trapped here with me. You're
yeah.
in my prisoner now. Like, there are so many moments. There's one that stood out to me that I was like, this is such a real life
Ooh.
Situation. Jacob gives Bella like a bracelet because he realizes she's gonna turn into a vampire soon. I'm gonna give her this bracelet. And it's like a
That's
it has like
sweet.
A little wooden pendant
Thoughtful
that he's
king.
Made of a wolf. Pretty ugly
oh,
from him.
That's That's really thoughtful.
It's really cute. Yeah, from his tribe, you know. Yeah, he's like sat okay. there carving this little wooden pendant and he's made it on a bracelet.
Sentimental value.
It's like a graduation mm-hmm. present for Bella and he's like, I've made this for you.
I wonder if you could use that wood to like, you know how vampires like die with like
a wooden stake through
you know,
the heart.
You're supposed to... Yeah, steak, yes.
Not yeah. in Twilight. You need to be like have your head snapped off and burnt.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean? Anyway. Yeah.
He's there like carving this thing.
This is news to me. I can't remember this bracelet at all.
He gives it to Bella. I didn't remember this at all. And then there's a bit later when Edward sees it on Bella. He comes back a bit later and says, I think it's only fair if I am also represented on the bracelet. And gives her like a little charm to put on the bracelet. Like a little diamond charm.
He's gone to Pandora.
Literally he's gone down to Tiffany's.
He's been in the queue for Pandora. What the fuck?
And it is so real life manipulation abuser. Like, well, you can't have something that doesn't have, I have to be represented also on the bracelets. Like, that's that's a nice moment between Jacob and Bella. And he's
between
just,
to be honest, between two like 18-year-olds and you, 100-year-old man, can't understand.
Freak. And there are so many moments that I'm watching it where...
he's putting you off. It's an Ichabod offence.
It's not even like, oh, they've coded jealousy as romantic. It's not even any of the shit that I've been saying on here about Edward.
Right.
It is so much more real than that. It's like, no, he's actually like a walking
he's actually fucked
red
up.
Flag.
Yeah.
Like, it for Bella to make the decision to be with Edward, she has to give up her entire friendship group. When he's with her, she does not speak to her friends.
Sorry, you look so good. The concern on your face, just so the listener understands what's happening here. I've never seen this level of concern on Sevi's face.
For a fictional character that would happen like fucking 15 years
You're
ago.
You're properly shaken up.
I'm shaken to my core by my love
like, this is
Jacob.
Urgent news. Mm.
The whole time I was watching this,
I can't believe
this. I was like, I have been glorifying this psychopath in my mind.
You know what you're giving me right now?
Mm.
The Taylor Swift song Back to December, if you don't know, is about her having this relationship with Taylor Lautner. And she kind of, the song Back to December is her like taking responsibility and being like, shit, you're actually a good guy. And like, I didn't give you the credit that you deserved. And that's kind of your energy right now. Yes. You're like, I miss your tan skin, your sweet smile.
I do miss his
so
tan
good
skin.
To me, so right. That's the energy I'm getting from you right now.
And I couldn't agree more. I think I've really overlooked Jacob and Taylor as a whole.
He's the best of the bad bunch then, is that the vibe?
By miles. By miles.
Still flawed.
Completely
but,
flawed.
But like compared
completely
to this buffoon.
But nowhere fucking near compared to the awfulness of Edward.
Right.
I was just shocked. Usually I'm like, oh, he's disgusting, he's toxic, but oh my God, give me that I will love you for 1,000 years montage.
That is so funny. I'm so shocked.
My whole life.
You've been quite viciously Team Edward.
No, exactly.
The whole time I've
known
you.
It's yeah. hitting hard, actually. The pivot.
How are you going to cope with this identity shift? What does this mean for us and our brand?
Like, I wasn't enjoying any scene with Edward on. Like, every minute he'd walk on, I used to get, like, heart flutters. Now I'm like, oh, fuck off. Leave her alone.
No, I really can tell. I can
tell. The whole of New Moon, the whole plot is that you've all seen it. He goes away, he leaves Bella, and she's just about...
And the gorgeous scene where the camera's revolving around her
and
flooding through the seasons. It's so good.
In that, I said, the only thing I would change about that is I don't think it needs the month written on the screen. Just silly.
Bit much.
Because it just speaks for itself. Beautiful scene. Speaks for itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just don't spell it out so much.
Yeah, fair enough.
He leaves Bella and he goes and Bella is just picking up the pieces of her life. She's just trying to build some motorbikes with Jacob, all to see Edward, but she's picking
I just
it
had
up.
A thought. I'm so sorry to interrupt.
Mm.
Just speaking about the artistic choice of putting the chapters on, I think, do you think, am I making this up? Am I giving her too much credit? Or like, am I making up something that didn't exist? In the book of New Moon, is there a chapter, like November, and it's just blank, and then it's like the next chapter? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. I've never read New Moon. I've only ever read Twilight.
I don't know why my memory is telling me that that's real, but maybe that was just my idea maybe
wow.
just now. But maybe that, because it kind of gives that
your book just had the page ripped out.
Yeah. But like the title, November or whatever, and it's just blank. Maybe.
Wow.
I might be making that up.
Is Stephanie a genius?
I don't think so. Either way, whether or not I've made that up, I think either way, no. But also love her. Yeah, maybe explaining to the like horny 13-year-olds that it, the month is changing, that they might not have been able to keep up.
But there's literally Halloween followed by, like, it's just, it's, it couldn't be more
obvious.
Yeah,
I guess. I mean, there's a lot of confusing money. The whole thing is quite confusing, I guess. I'm sure they would have got the gist of the...
Yeah, that's the one thing I'd change about Twilight. I'm barking up the wrong tree.
Well, I'm shook.
Mm, same.
I'm happy for you, though.
He's just... He's actually too abusive for me to love now.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
That's what it's taken. The bracelet. No, the whole way through, I was just like, I can't even fucking deal with this twat.
Wow.
Like, if she was with Jacob, she wouldn't have to change anything. Also, like, I had this weird revelation when I was watching it. And I was like, Edward's skin is cold. Edward's penis is cold.
Is cold. Cold to the touch.
My mum even said, imagine him, she said the word penetrating you, with a cold penis.
God.
And we were like, yeah, Team Jacob.
You've had
team
quite
Jacob.
An intense couple days then.
I know. It's because the whole thing is building towards, oh my God, they're going to have sex. And it's like, wait, let's remember, his penis is cold.
But his dick is cold.
Oh, I don't think so.
Sorry, that was the doctor. Which sounds Doctor Who. It sounds really grim. Sounds like some sort of code. Sorry, that was the doctor calling.
That was the doctor. Da-da.
Anyway, this episode. Are we done with that chat?
Yeah, we're way done with that chat.
Okay. Thoughts on this ep then?
My thoughts are I'm excited for this ep. I don't have any coherent thoughts right now.
I feel like, no, neither, never. I feel like everyone... I feel like it's kind of the time of year when everyone's like, oh, you're graduating, what are you doing, blah, blah, blah. Mm. But I also feel like just for anyone, like wherever you are in life, everyone always just feels like they don't know what they're doing. They don't know where they're going.
Yeah.
Confusion, pressure, all of that shit. So sorry to bring it up if you are graduating soon. I'm sure you're really annoyed
congrats.
To hear me say that. Yeah, congrats. I just feel like it's kind of, I don't know, I'm just always down to hear people acknowledge that there's pressure.
I'm always down to hear people say they don't know what they're doing as well. I think that's one of the things that I love.
So true.
I think as you grow up, there's this weird revelation of like, oh, I was my parents' age when they had me. I'm the age now of my teachers. I'm mm-hmm. the age now of my old babysitter, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. People that you thought had their shit together. And the older you get, and you're going to be having this revelation at 40, at 50, at 70, at 90,
mm-hmm.
That it's like, wait, no one ever knew what they were doing. And I think it is one of the best revelations you can have, that it's just like, oh, well, the pressure's off then. If the people that were teaching me, if the people that were raising me had no fucking clue what they're doing... Pressure's fucking off then.
It's quite simple, really. Off. Yeah. This whole thing is kind of just down for you to just see what you can make of it. Really.
To have some fun.
Yeah.
To live a life, maybe.
Who knows? Ooh, oh, God.
Here we go.
Already feeling quite inspired. When do you think you felt the most pressure to, like, have a plan of what's coming next for you in life?
Nothing hits me like academic pressure. Oof. I was actually speaking the other day about GCSEs, like that mm-hmm. GCSE time, which if you're doing your GCSEs now,
aww.
I feel so sorry for you. They are, that was the most stress.
I'm sure they're doing amazing.
Oh my God, totally.
Yeah.
But I genuinely think that was the most stressed I've ever been in my life, which is saying something for the,
wow.
for the qualifications that mean the least in your life, I was the most stressed. Like the mm-hmm. amount of pressure that was put
just for
on...
context, anyone who's not in the UK, GCSEs you do like when you're around 16 years old, and it's like your first, like your school leaving kind of certificates,
and then you would do like your A levels, then they get you into uni if you're doing the traditional shit, but they're like the first kind of exams that you're told mean mm-hmm. anything, which I think is a lie, to be honest.
I don't know, I mean, I remember doing my SATs when I was probably 11 years old.
Yeah,
so that's
same.
What you do when you leave like baby school, like primary school.
But those were a bit of fun, the SATs.
Oh, totally. But I was really stressed about them, obviously.
Really?
Yeah, I was really like, they obviously went amazingly, but I was like, it has to be perfect. Like
wow.
real twat about it. I'd already decided that I was going to be an arsehole to myself, aged 11. And I remember my dad being like, he was like, don't worry about these. It's your GCSEs you got to worry about.
Oh, and it really... Oh,
and
such
obviously,
a lie.
I held on to that until I got to my GCSEs. And I was like, I remember you saying... Because I would sit down with my dad and be like, I'm fucking stressed about my GCSEs, blah, blah, blah. And he'd be like, no, it's fine. But I'm like, well, you told me when I was fucking 11 that these are the ones I had to worry about. And I remember that. But it's all a load of shit anyway.
I just find it so awful the amount that is put on children with GCSEs. Like, there are kids like killing themselves over the results of these exams, which is insane. It's insane the state of the world we've created.
And not even the results, just the pressure of doing them.
Yeah, of just feeling like a failure at 15.
Yeah.
That is a disgusting world.
That is disgusting.
It's absolutely disgusting.
A feeling like you have to have things figured out at 15. That's a joke.
You're making decisions at 15. You're making decisions of, are you a science person? Are you an English person? Are you a drama person?
Yeah. Where are you going to be in the next 40 years? Where are you going?
It's so unfair.
It's
and
really
then A-levels
unfair.
Is like, you've already cornered yourself off into a specific thing.
Yeah.
Then at uni, it becomes this thing that it feels impossible to change your mind, and then almost this idea that, well, you've left uni, you're set now, you're this kind of person, and you will be that for the next 70 years. Get a grip. I don't fucking think so.
Well, I have friends who, I was having this conversation the other day with a friend who did their GCSEs, just went into whatever they could get into, ended up doing essentially like an apprenticeship somewhere, and now it's their life career.
Life.
It's their career path. Yeah. And it's like you're 25 years old working in a career that you essentially chose when you were 15, 16.
Yeah. That's so common.
And you are two different people now. Yeah, it's completely.
It's, to be honest, the capitalism's favourite thing.
Mm.
It's the life plan. It's like you decide, you go into...
It's Nazi youth.
You're a scaffolder, and you'll be a scaffolder, then your son will be a scaffolder, then his son will be a scaffolder. It's like, it's this strange...
Indoctrinate them young.
It's no wonder Troy Bolton didn't want to be a basketball player and wanted to sing in musicals.
No!
Do not stick with the status quo.
You want to work this out.
Do what you want.
So GCSEs were the most pressure you've ever felt, and you felt more pressure to know what you were doing at GCSEs than you did when you left uni.
Yeah, because I don't know if I felt...
So the stressful phone calls I've had off of you in the past like 3 years were less than what you were going through at 15.
Different kind of stress, because I feel like there's less identity pressure on the GCSEs. Like, I feel like when you leave uni, there's this identity pressure of like, who will you be?
Who are you in the real world?
This moment is the culmination of your entire education, and who will you choose?
Ooh.
Sort of scary.
It's like, and this is what we chose, is it?
It's like, you chose wrong.
Work in progress.
Should have been the scaffolder. But I think the GCSE pressure, I was so young, I was so ill-equipped for that, and also it was things that I was obviously bad at that I was having to like force myself to be good at, like physics, chemistry, math.
I don't believe that you're bad at those things, but
I was terrible. Like, I would be crying into like past papers at my table, like a fucking 15-year-old girl crying, thinking I was like the world's dumbest mathematician. And I probably am.
Right, so true. Yeah, fair enough.
And I don't want to be. And having to just do all this shit, and it's like, it's really trying to fit, the square peg in the round hole? Like, it's like, I'm never, ever going to be able to do that. And just feeling like, why can everyone do a fucking long division and I just can't get my head around it? Why can I not balance an equation, any of that shit?
Ooh.
It's just like, I should never really have had to cry about it. Like, if I got a fucking bad grade in it. But for some reason, it's like, no, you have to get a good grade. It's like, why? Why?
It's hard, isn't it?
I know.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
God. What was the most stress you've been leaving uni? That came out so posh. Leaving uni.
What, like stressed about the future?
Like, I just felt like you were going to say the most stressed you had been is after uni.
The most stressed I've been about, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing next. Yeah, is uni for sure. Mm. Like leaving uni, because I didn't know what I was doing next. And even while you're still at uni, before I'd even graduated, I had people being like, what are you doing after uni?
Yeah.
And I would be like, probably crying about leaving uni. Like, yeah. Probably just going to mope about for a bit. And I did. And I feel like I had, not everyone has, well, people have different markers, don't they? But for me, I held on to uni as like a goalpost of I'm working my way to uni. Mm-hmm. That was the only, I never, even as a kid, people would be like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I'd be like, I don't know. Like, I never knew. I thought, oh, the job that I am supposed to, it doesn't exist. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. That doesn't exist for me. It's just not gonna happen. Like, me as an adult living, I'm doing a job, I don't see it. This is giving me bad vibes. And I could just never make a decision because I was a real Libra kid, but I'm working on it. Libra in progress. Mm. I feel like I'm good at making decisions now, but back in the day, absolutely not. So even as a young kid, I never knew what I wanted to do, but, and this is because I'd always been told it, you're going to go to uni. Partly, yeah, I'd just always been told it, so I believed it. But I always held on to going to uni as like a goalpost, like an end goal of life. Like, I'll make it to university. Like, oh, blah, 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 I'll just get through this and then I'll get to uni. Or like, oh, blah, 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 and I'll go to uni. And I didn't really think about it after. I thought, oh, I'll just be at uni like forever, yeah. Probably. Like, I didn't know I was going to have a life after uni. What? What do you mean the earth just continues to spin and everyone keeps asking things of you and you just carry on? What? Huh? I don't understand. Yeah. I thought the world would end when I was like 16 with my eyeliner and my hair extensions. I thought the world would end in my prime.
I was listening to a podcast the other day and they were talking about, I think it's kind of what you're talking about. I was listening to Diary of a CEO. Have you heard of that? With Stephen. Stephen Bartlett.
Are you taking the piss out of me? Are you actually taking the piss
out of me? You have, but you looked really shocked when I said it.
I can't believe you said, have you heard of this? Are you joking?
No. Before that, you looked shocked. So I was like, you do know it.
Right. Okay. Okay, so a big confusion there. We've had so many combos about
him and that
podcast. Okay.
Stephen Bartlett. I knew you did, but it was more just like your face made me double guess myself.
Yeah. Okay. Who?
Just also earlier we had the thing where I thought you.
Yeah, go on.
Anyway.
Earlier we had the thing where you thought I.
Earlier we had the thing where, what was I going to say even? Earlier you said, oh, I thought you'd said something to me that you hadn't said.
Oh.
I thought you'd said the thing about the Kardashians.
I don't know. God, we've got ourselves in
this
a loop.
Is getting so
yeah, this
niche.
Is confusing. I mean, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, go on. Who was the guest?
Jackmate was the guest.
God, interesting choice from you. Okay.
So fascinating. Well, I used to love Jackmate back in the day.
Of course. Yeah, I can see that.
Fascinating story from him. I used to DM Jackmate on like Twitter. We used to be like little mates.
You've told me this before.
In the early days of Twitter.
Yeah.
He had a friend called Jason.
Interesting.
He said once, I look like Cheryl Cole, which was a great moment.
Yeah, I remember this. Mm. That's a really good moment.
Really great moment when you're 14.
Yeah.
And they probably are 14 as well. But anyway, I was listening to the Jackmate one with Stephen Bartlett, the host.
Yeah, right, the host.
He's obviously there.
Fucking hell.
And they were talking about a thing called arrival fallacy.
Yes.
And it sounds a little bit about like what you
it's
had.
That.
Yeah, because I'd never heard of arrival fallacy before.
Yeah.
Where you get somewhere and you thought that was the end. You, for example, they were talking about you buy your house and you think, I bought my house. That's the end. Oh my God. Like I reached my goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, but fuck, now I've got to like live in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to like watch TV in the house. I've got to cook in the house.
I've got to pay for this mortgage now.
Yeah.
I hope this is what I wanted. Yeah.
And it's like, if you've been working your whole life, you're going to uni, you're doing the GCSEs, you're doing the A-levels, you get there, you apply, you do your personal statement, you get there, you're at uni, and it's like, oh, now I'm at uni. Like, when, and then mm-hmm. that ends. It's like, wait, what the fuck? Like, I met the goalpost. What do you mean I've got to do another one? Well, like, what do you mean? Like, what does this even mean to me anymore?
Yeah. Well, what the fuck am I going to come up with now? Yeah.
It sounds like arrival fallacy. I just had never heard that. And I thought that was absolutely a great term.
Yeah, it's completely it. Yeah, it is. It is. I definitely think I had that. That's the most pressure I've ever had to, I think, in your, like, at this time as well. I would even say, like, from the ages of, like, 13 to fucking 40. So basically your whole fucking life. Because I don't want to wipe anyone out, but, like, I do think, like, early 20s even, let's say. No, I don't want to cut off any 30-year-olds out there, because I think it's totally when you're 30 as well. And I don't want to cut off the 15-year-olds listening as well, because I know you're listening. But I just think these are the times when you're really, it's really easy to be really hyper aware of yourself, super self-conscious, especially now with social media. You're constantly, you can't help but look around at everyone else and see what everyone else is apparently doing. And for some reason, there's this assumption that you put on yourself that is, well, you're not doing enough or as much.
Yeah.
Or you're not as far as them. I actually screenshotted someone's message we asked on the story about what you guys think, and somebody said that they mainly get the pressure of, like, having a plan for the future or whatever from friends, and they said they always seem to get to life checkpoints before me, and it's weird to watch. And I was thinking about the concept of checkpoints and, like, milestones and stuff.
Wow.
Because the idea of checkpoints is kind of like a game.
Yeah, bingo.
But say, for example, I am playing Spider-Man on PS4 and you're playing
Stardew Valley on the Switch.
Stardew Valley on the Switch. Couldn't be more different.
Couldn't be.
There's no point you looking at my checkpoints and thinking, oh, fucking hell, she's just conquered the enemy of Manhattan. Not a thing. Just swinging around fucking New York. I haven't done that yet. It's like, well, listen, that's not, you're not doing that in your game.
You've got a chicken coop to build.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not Mr. Spider-Man looking at your fucking relationship with Shane thinking, shit, I need to work on my farm or whatever.
That is the nichest reference it could possibly be.
But do you get what I mean?
Completely. You're living different
lives.
And
even if you are having the checkpoints, you will be having them at different times. That's kind of just the fun of being a different human being to everyone else.
Yeah.
I know that's obvious, but...
No, it's not, though. It's completely not, because...
I think it's good to remember.
I think if you've lived in this world, and I'm sure we all have, unless there's any aliens, hey!
Hey!
I think then you... Hey, guys! Take me with you, please. I think we all know very clearly what the perfect life it looks like. If we're told, we've all watched movies, we've all listened to songs, we know what the checkpoints are. We know what they fucking are. For example, we just said one: you buy a house,
yeah,
you get your GCSEs, you go to uni, you get married, you have your kids, you have your career. We know
that, like, uni isn't one of them as much anymore. Like, really,
it's not. But, like, it, for example, anything that's glorified as a checkpoint,
as a
thing,
like,
you should
house,
do,
for example, yeah,
in a life,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
We all
have
know very clearly, exactly, have a baby,
buy a dog,
they're all in there. We know, we all know them. We can go on and on and on.
Nice car,
we know them. Yeah. And it's very, very clear what we should all be hitting. We all know them, even if there's some variation of, like, oh, well, I'm not going to buy a house, but I'm going to buy, like, an amazing car. We all know that there is a variation of, like, points that we should be hitting. So then when it's like, oh, well, you're not living the same, like, my version of success looks very different to your version of success, but we're all still comparing it to this, like, blueprint of success that's been given to us from a very early age. So it's really difficult to be like, my life just looks different to that, I'm on a different path to that, because it's like, but why does my path, the thing that makes me happy, look so different to what should make me happy, or made all of the people that I love in films so happy, or all the people in the songs that I listen to made them happy? Like, why does mine look like going for a walk every day? Like, that's not one of the checkpoints, but that's a checkpoint for me.
It's so true. I also think, like, happiness and success, or, like, ideas of success are different things. Like, in films, we might be shown ideas of success fine that relate to real life, but it's kind of the arrival fallacy thing of you might have all of the markers of success, or you might have, I'm sure you've achieved things in your life, I'm sure of it, but they don't always bring you happiness. I think it's like the achievements don't feel necessarily the way that you thought that they might feel when you get them. It's all this time. I know we say that all the time, but maybe you do have the house and the degree and the car and the whatever. Maybe you have another list of things that you were really looking forward to. And I'm sure when you got them, you were really happy about it. And I'm sure when you're in the right zone, you're really happy about it still. But I think having a base level of contentment is not something that we see in films. And that is more realistic than like feeling this overwhelming, quite like an adrenaline buzz from having something amazing. It's like I'm sure you have an amazing thing in your life. And it's not even that you take it for granted. You're just living a life and experiencing a range of emotions. You're not always going to be fucking buzzing your nut off every day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, completely.
I just think we don't see real representations of emotions that much, because I think a big part of life is just finding peace and contentment. And that sometimes takes really exciting, fun, euphoric forms. And sometimes that's really mundane and simple and calm and just reflective and nice.
Love that.
Both are valid, don't you think?
Yeah, completely, completely. Because I think you're told that you want, or not even told, like who's fucking telling me this shit, but you pick it up along the way.
You'll see it. We're all seeing these blueprints. They do exist.
Yeah.
Constructs.
Yeah, in everywhere you look, literally everywhere you look, there's what you should be doing versus what you are doing in your failure of a life. And that is pretty much the design of Instagram, is to make it so your life feels pretty shit compared to what you're looking at.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's everything. The idea that the small, it's not even like celebrate the small things, but it's like actually like take some of the weight off of the big things. I think there is so
give
much
yourself
like
some credit.
You should feel like this when you walk along that graduation fucking stage, when you fucking buy your dog, whatever you want to do, you should be filled with this emotion. But I actually think it's like the lessons I've learned is that you don't necessarily, because it could hit you 5 years, like it could actually hit you 3 days later, the feeling, or it could hit you randomly. You're on the toilet and you think, oh my God, I've bought a fucking house.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be the moment you open your front door.
No, but it's true.
It could hit you at a moment you don't want it to.
Maybe it is the moment that you get in the front door and then 2 weeks later you're stressed fucking stripping the tiles in the kitchen thinking, why did I sign myself up for this huge product? I haven't got that money in my account anymore. Did I make a mistake? Blah, blah, blah. But every emotion, valid, but temporary. Every way that you feel, fine, completely valid, but also temporary.
But it's not
it
gonna
won't last.
Yeah,
it's
that
fine.
Is so good.
Like, yes, you might get the adrenaline and the buzz.
Oh, love that.
You're going to be in a mood one day. Like, I would put all my money on it. It's like 2p.
Trust me, I'll put all my money on it.
Don't quit your day job. Okay, I wanted to ask you a question because we're on a podcast. That's what we do. But I wanted to ask you if you have kind of something that you remind yourself that makes you feel a bit better when you feel like you don't have a plan coming up. Because something that I say all the time, I've definitely said it to you. I don't know if I've said it on the podcast, probably. Just constantly repeating myself, making dull points somehow more dull than the previous. But something I say all the time whenever like my friend is like freaking out about something or like I am in my own head about something, I always reference that like the foundations of our pop culture is like Friends and Sex and the City.
Love this.
And you know, like all of these shows where you're seeing people.
Girls even.
Yeah. Sex and the City Love is it. So good because it's older women.
Yeah.
Or just a group that aren't necessarily super represented in media in general. But it's like you're watching kind of 30-year-old, like you're 18 thinking, shit, what am I doing? But the pinnacle of like Hollywood and like the pinnacle of entertainment is a 30-year-old Rachel Green crying because she feels like she doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah.
But she's having kind of the time of her life running around with her friends in New York, being lost and not, you know, she doesn't have a clue where is she next week. She can't pay her rent, blah, blah, blah. And you're lost right now. It's like, maybe that's what life is about. Maybe that's actually the fun of it. Maybe that is kind of the point, right? That, maybe yeah, that's desirable.
Do you know what that is called? It's called life.
That, exactly.
Literally, that is life.
Not just life, a desirable life. To be young yeah. and confused and lost and stressed and in your head, it's kind of a vibe, honestly. It's like kind of an aesthetic in itself, not to be gross. But it's, I remember saying, like, you were like, I'm just not to out you. You were like, I'm so confused. Saying? I'm so lost. Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Sounds like me.
And I was like, is that not the point of being 24? Like, is that yeah. not the fun of it? This is back when we were 24. Good yeah. times.
That dates it. It was last year.
But is that not the point? When the foundations of what we understand to be cool and exciting and fashionable and desirable is like 30, 40-year-old women running around scrapping for their rent.
It's Carrie Bradshaw.
Exactly. And just like living out with their friends and feeling like shit half the time and like having a panic attack while they get dressed. Like, is that not the point?
Love.
It's just quite humbling, honestly. It's quite a humbling moment to be like, shit, maybe I'm living it.
Yeah, as I should be. I'm literally
winging it.
Love it. Maybe it's you're on track.
Exactly.
It's like maybe that's you on track to have
exactly.
some fun.
Exactly. Right.
You're not behind. You're not a mess.
And the hindsight is so 2020. Like when you look back, for example, when I look back at that little girl who was 11 years old and she was like, shit, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing, my GT, or well, not even, my SATs, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, first of all, you're a child genius, so shut the fuck up. And second of all, you're so cute. Like, what are these worries, like this poor girl? But I just see it, it's so plain as day to me when I'm detached from the situation. I'm like, oh, look at this little kid, like stressing and taking on all this responsibility, like that's so sweet. And it just becomes so clear that I was fine. And I think that as much as possible, you can detach yourself from where you are right now and just zoom out and get a bit of perspective and get out of your box, to be honest, get a grip, what I always say. If you can just zoom out and like see yourself from a third party perspective, very hard.
Yeah.
But the sooner we can work on that, the easier your everyday life becomes, because all this stupid shit just fucking melts away. It's like, what even is that? Why am I even stressed? I'm sure I'll figure it out.
That's why I think I love zooming out so far, that it's mm-hmm. like I'm zooming out to the perspective, the third party is the aliens.
The universe.
I zoom out and I yeah. become God for a second.
I'm zooming out and I'm not stopping.
I zoom and I zoom back until Earth is a tiny speck.
And I'll never come back.
And then suddenly GCSEs, I am sorry.
Exactly.
You're joking.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I love that. I love the Zoom.
So that's what I was going to ask you, is what's your little reminder that you give yourself? The zooming out, what's a little life hack?
Well, I can zoom and zoom.
If you rub your brain in beeswax, it's waterproof and all of the worries melt away. What's your little life hack of like...
Something that always hits me whenever I do a meditation... Mm-hmm. And it's a phrase, I wouldn't necessarily say this in my life, but I think it's weird how much it hits me every time I hear it.
But you're going to say it on the podcast. Yeah. Yep.
It's not something that I would be like, it's hardly a mantra I would use. But every time it's said to me, I'm like, oh, that really did soothe me. Like, it's a nice thing.
Yeah, it kind of could be.
And
yeah.
whenever I'm in a meditation, the phrase that gets thrown around is, you are exactly where you need to be.
Oh,
and for some reason, gorgeous. That just... takes it all, because it's like it makes it seem like there's some plan to this,
right?
There's some plan, and where you are,
this is the part where
yeah,
I stress out.
You're exactly yeah. where you need to be, where you are right now, in your meltdown in your car, or having a bit of a shit day, but wherever you are, lying in your bed you haven't left in 4 hours, you're just exactly where you need to be.
Yeah.
And for some reason that just it so just cute. Cradles you up. It's like oh well, then what am I worried about then?
Yeah.
And then I follow that with a major zoom. We're doing a dramatic zoom out of the
zoom
world.
Back in.
And it's like, oh, it doesn't matter if yeah, you're lying in your bed for 4 hours. Because your entire life is a speck in this universe. It's not even a speck. It's amoebas on fleas on rats. Whatever. It's nothing.
Iconic.
It's nothing.
That's so good. Amoebas on fleas on rats.
I was trying to think, what's a speck funny. On a speck on a speck? Is amoebas on fleas on rats?
It is.
And I love feeling small and insignificant.
Yeah. It's not a big deal.
There's a quote. I have a quote. It's an Eckhart Tolle quote, as I always
Stunning.
Do. And it sums this up. I'm going to have to search the words in my notes app.
It's a Chris Evans tattoo. It
could be.
Don't ask me how I know that.
What is his tattoo?
I don't know, but it's something I can't tell. He's got a few. Let's not get into it. It really is. I read about the troll and thought that I could handle it. It's like, no, you can't handle it. You thought you were the only person on earth who didn't find him attractive. No, think again.
I probably said this before because it's underneath my quote about, like, whatever you want from the world, whatever you think the world is withholding from you is what you're withholding from the world.
Ooh.
Great quote, still hits nice. Me to this day. Mm-hmm. I wrote this note in May 2021. It's like, God, this is old.
Wow, it's nearly a year old. But
this hits me. And just that feeling of zooming out and still being insignificant.
We haven't moved. We still need the exact same
quote.
Lessons.
Literally.
It's like, shit, we're still in the same place.
Yeah,
go on. We're still as unstable as we were.
Oh my God. And I need this reminded to me every day. It says, if you are content with being nobody in particular, content not to stand out, you align yourself with the power of the universe.
Ooh.
And as woohoo wishy-washy as that is, there is something so amazing in being just, I'm completely fine to be just like nothing, not stand out. I'm not here trying to make a mark. I'm not here to leave an impression.
Yeah.
I'm just here just to be myself, live my life. The second you do that, the pressure is off and your life becomes yours again.
Oh.
It is your life to live now. You're aligned with the power of the universe, whatever he says. You're just here. You're another, you might as well be a fucking butterfly fucking tree.
Uh-huh.
You're just here. You're not here to be like, oh, I've got a lot to prove. It's like, you don't. You're just here. And there's just so much power in just being like, if you take it out to the alien's perspective, you might as well be a fucking ant.
Yeah, they don't want to hear from you.
So be a happy ant. Then you can be a little happy little ant.
That is perfection.
Not really the striving human. Fuck that.
That's really nice. I was going to say, you saying that made me want to ask you something. I hope you don't mind. Mm. You said it makes you feel like remembering that makes you feel like your life is yours again.
Yeah.
And I would like to ask you, when is a moment when you felt like your life wasn't yours?
Every single moment I use Instagram.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Every single moment that I have an experience in my real life, and my primary concern is documenting that moment to share with other people, my life is not mine.
So is it sharing? 'Cause for me, it's, I think we've said this before, but it's not the sharing that fucks me, it's being on the receiving end, it's the consuming that gets me.
It's not for me,
but it's the sharing.
It's watering down my life into a condensed version of my experience. I can't stand it.
Really fascinating, because I think people will have different opinions. Like, I've always felt like the worst bit about social media is
the consumption.
I could give a fuck about what I'm sharing. Who fucking cares?
Yeah.
It's fuck me. I've spent like 4 hours looking at some girl I'm never gonna meet.
Yeah.
Like, and now all of a sudden I want her life. That's embarrassing. Like,
yeah.
That's the bit for me. But I completely get what you've just said.
And I completely get what you've said.
I just
yeah.
think it's really, yeah, it's really interesting though, isn't it?
There's that's why
it's just not one fits all.
Social media
vibe.
It's just a double-ended sword.
It's not a Brandy Melville vibe. Yeah.
Because on one side, there's the over-awareness of your self-presentation of like your who you want to show yourself as, what you want to show your life as, to this imagined audience, to quote my own mother.
Yeah, imagined audience.
And then also on the other side, there's this side, you're the audience, so you're the performer and the audience, and then you're
it's a one-woman show.
It's a one-woman goddamn show. But it's also like the whole world, all the world's a stage at the same time. It's like you can't move. Mm-hmm. It's awful. And then you're just stuck in this loop of fucking reading, like seeing other people's shit. That bit doesn't fuck me up so much for some reason.
Wow.
What fucks me up is I'm out with my friends and there's this weird little urge in the back of my mind saying,
document.
Like, that looks cute. Let's take a photo of it. It's like, no, let's just fucking not take a photo of it.
Yeah, fair enough. Fucking hell.
What about
me? I mean,
you,
either
though?
Way, it's not good.
No, it's a nightmare. It's a living hell.
It is a nightmare. What about me? What?
I don't actually know what the exact question
is. When is my life
yeah,
not my own?
Yeah, when is your life not your own?
Oh, I don't want to take us to the pits. I don't know.
Take us to the pits.
I have felt like my life wasn't my own.
Let's get in our little pink car and go to the pits.
No. I'm doing a 3-point turn. I'm doing a UE out of here.
Reverse baby part.
Emergency stop.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I hate that question. Who would choose such a life? Who would come up with such a dodgy question? I don't know. I think going back to, like, I had uni at such a goalpost because there was such a time when I was a kid, or like even like up to like 18 or whatever, when I really, my life really wasn't mine.
Mm.
So being able to go to university was like a real, oh, like this could be a real way out for me. Like I could really get out of a situation that I don't like, mm-hmm. and give myself some autonomy. I think as a teenager, I think life is so fucking hard. And I just think if you're a teenager right now and you feel like your life is not your own, good for you for getting through it every fucking day, yeah. and like showing up again tomorrow and just powering through, and like good for you for getting this far through it.
Yeah.
I just think there's so much pressure on like literally everyone.
It is horrific.
And I would really like
life?
Us to all step back. Yeah. And just like make a fucking cup of tea and just put your feet up. Like get some cake.
Honestly, that couldn't sound better.
If you could have one cake in life, what cake? Like if you could have a cake right now, what cake would you have? Like what flavour?
Chocolate, straight away.
Wow.
I just love a chocolate cake.
Chocolate cake.
What would you choose? It would be some kind of berry situation.
Not necessarily, but I had chocolate cake last night. Mm-hmm. The Oggs one. The one
the
that you
Oggs
love.
The Oggs one. That's Oggs is really good, I think. What do you think of it?
Yeah, they are good. I think, I don't know if you can only get them if you're in the UK, but if you're in the UK, you should try these Oggs.
I want them to sponsor us.
The two cupcake situation. So do I. Oggs, if you're listening.
As in the sandwich. Yeah, Oggs, please.
No,
please.
No, it's like a pack of two cupcakes.
Okay, so you're going for the cupcake vibes.
And it's like two chocolate fudge cupcake vibes.
I like those, but I kind of feel like the ratio is icing heavy.
It's a lot of icing, but I like the icing.
I quite like the little sandwich ones that are, they're like,
all right, I'll
a
have
bit
a look
of
for those.
The sponge cake with a thin layer of sugar.
Ooh, and then
another,
nice.
A real little
nice.
Yeah, little really little really what an old woman would choose as a cake.
It's really lemon cake's my favorite.
What is that?
It's Sansa Stargardt, my queen, Sophie Turner.
Yeah,
anyway, just thought I'd talk to you about cake. Lift the vibes.
What's your worst cake? Like if I baked
something
you a cake
with like a load of nuts in it, I'd be really gutted if you made a real nutty,
really?
Nutteroo cake. I don't like too much nuts vibe. I don't like super seedy.
Oh, I do.
Like oh,
I like it to be grains.
I don't like it. I don't have a very sophisticated palate for that. I'd rather. Oh, I had hot dogs the other night.
Ooh,
so good, so good.
Yum. What were they? Which hot dogs were they?
I don't know.
Throwing up a brand name in.
I don't
Let's get
know.
Another sponsor on the go.
Yeah, I don't know. But they were really fucking good. And, oh, I didn't tell you about this.
Mm.
I had an epiphany.
I love to hear it.
I don't know why no one told me that mustard was good, but mustard is good.
It's so good.
If you didn't know, it's so good. Mustard on ketchup. Amoebas on fleas and cats. Mustard and ketchup on hot dogs. So good.
What mustard? Are you going for like a yellow squeezy mustard?
An American, yeah.
Really?
Sweet. Not sweet, squeezy.
I've never had that.
Yeah, it's good.
But I had Dijon mustard the other day.
Nice.
And I was like, this is nice.
Yeah.
It kind of gives me a wasabi vibe.
I think it's because we're getting old.
Yeah.
It is kind of wasabi. Yeah, it's kind of if my grandmother had wheels, she would be a bike saying it's wasabi. But I do get the vibe.
This because I've only got into wasabi quite recently.
Mm.
Like, I would usually be a sushi and soy sauce girl.
Right.
Now I'm going for a wasabi vibe as well.
Nice, yeah.
And I think then I was like, right, I'm going to have mustard on. We had Beyond Burgers. Yum. Another brand in there.
Yum.
And I put Dijon mustard on it. And I was like, this is great.
Yum.
So I agree. Maybe we should have a mustard party.
Love it. I just, honestly, I've always turned my nose up. I've always judged a book by its cover. I always thought, that's not for me. And then,
same.
You know what? I gave it a go and I thought, you're a fucking idiot. You've been missing out on that.
Yeah. I think we can go now.
What? You think we're done? You think the episode is done?
48 minutes.
All right. Fine. Let's go.
Maybe it's not.
No,
I almost feel like, we going to talk about mustard for 10 minutes and just put that on the end of the app?
No, I thought we were going to change the subject and pull back in, but I'm happy.
Okay. Let's change the subject and pull back in.
All right. Just a quick one then. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, you can. Sorry, I feel like I'm not asking you any questions. I just really don't have anything in this little brain of mine.
I'm not asking you any questions. I just really don't want to talk to you. It sounded like. I just really don't want to talk to you. I think a big part of this concept, hear me out, is comparison.
So much.
Which is potentially the crux of every concept that we talk about on here is comparison. But it really is. Look, when they say the thief of joy, they're not joking.
They are not.
They're not fucking around.
They are not.
If a quote has ever hit, no quote hits harder than that. It's so true.
I would even go so far as to up the crime, the murderer of joy.
It's the ultimate destroyer of joy. Not just joy, of all things good in the world. You know that famous quote, comparison is the ultimate destroyer of all things good in the world?
It is, though.
It is.
Why is it so bad?
I think because it's internal, personally. If I'm comparing myself, half the time I don't even realise I'm doing it, let alone sit down and ring someone up and say, I've been comparing myself for 45 minutes. Do you know what I mean? It's so internal. I think we don't even catch ourselves doing it.
Completely, completely agree. And it's so shameful.
It's very deep in that. Yeah, totally.
It's so shameful. It's not just like, oh, I felt sad or anxious, which obviously have shit tons of shame attached to them as well.
Offended
but
or
comparison,
whatever.
Because it's almost like it's about someone else, though. Mm-hmm. It's you looked at someone else.
They didn't ask for this mess.
It's not a great feeling. It's so horrid. But the thing is,
it's really bad.
Absurd that we've attached that level of shame around it, because I really think it's one of the most universal feelings.
It's so human.
Yeah.
In this world that, as I say, is so demanding. Do you want to tell me you're not cut out for this world without actually telling me you're not cut out for this world?
Yeah.
This world is so demanding and everyone's got so much pressure on them. But I really believe it.
It is demand after demand.
It is demand after demand. I don't have the time for this. I don't have the mental capacity. Anyway. In a world that is making so many demands of you, sorry that I'm also looking around comparing myself. What did we expect? It's completely by design. It's not coincidence that you find yourself sitting scrolling and looking at these other people thinking, shit, they've got it so good, or like, fuck, I'm a fucking failure in comparison. It's completely by design that you're doing that. It doesn't make you weird. It doesn't make you wrong. It makes the world fucking wrong. I don't know what we're going to do about that, but I just wanted to put it out there.
Well, we've spoken about her in an episode before, the world's first comparison coach.
Comparison coach.
Lucy Sheridan, her name is on Instagram. You
We're
can find
embarrassing.
Her.
Yeah, Lucy Sheridan.
I haven't looked at what she's doing for ages, but
no, I haven't actually. But love good the for vibes. Her. I'm sure she's doing amazing. Lucy Sheridan. To be honest, guys, go straight to the source. You can end this podcast here. It's all downhill from here, I'm sure. the comparison coach. Doesn't say the world's first anymore though.
Someone pipped her to the post.
Maybe she's been pulled up on that. Yeah. Her bio says helping. Here to help you live your life.
Wow.
Basically, what this episode was trying to do, you're probably going to get from her Instagram account, Lucy Sheridan. Check her out.
I think also she has a book.
Oh, wow.
I think she has a book.
God.
Promo.
Are we
promoting someone else's book?
What's going on
book?
Here?
are we allowed to do that? Just what? I haven't read it. I don't know what it's like. But I always think if I suddenly got into like a comparison-y spiral, I would want to be reading about comparison. I do feel like it's one of those things that you need to tackle quite head on, because as you said, it's something you're not aware of. It really does live beneath the surface.
It runs
it's
away
with you.
It's
just there. Mm-hmm. And you almost live your life just feeling slightly shit. So it's something that I think comparison, it's like I want to be tackling that. I want to be on that. And I think she's got all styles of comparison. It's just fascinating.
Yeah, I want to tackle it, but I also want to be accepting and forgiving of myself in the ways that I feel on any given day. Do you know what I mean? Yes, like work in progress. Yeah, working on things, but also like who I am is good.
Enjoying my life with all my issues.
So true. With all my issues.
Me and my
the
demons
issues start
enjoying
coming
this
and they
life.
Don't stop coming. Yeah.
They don't.
Just hanging out with my demons. Okay, well, look, I'm more than ready to go now. I think everyone's had absolutely enough of us. Or enough of me, speak for myself.
Weird little bit on the end about comparison. Hope that hope that fed someone.
Weird little thing about mustard. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, well, if you don't hear from us.
If you don't hear from us, assume the worst.
Assume the worst. Weirdly said.
We keep splitting that. I don't like it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.